Hey guys, welcome back. Another podcast episode. This week I am going to, the topic comes from a question that I got, that I think is probably worth talking about and telling my story with. The question came from, it was an email that came, and the question was about regarding nutrition, feeding, supplements, that kind of stuff. And there's a few things. One of the things that, you know, as a small business, we have been developing and in the process of working on a few projects over a couple of years now. Some of them are supplement related. One of them is fish oil, which fish oil we've had available now for, I want to say we probably had it available going on a year. It's something that I didn't always use. Once I started using it, I have not come off of it. I feel like the benefits that I can see from it are pretty powerful. And I feel like I can't always see what's going on inside my dogs. I can't see what's going on inside my dogs, but I can see what's going on outside. And I do think they're directly related. So we're going to talk more on just overall general health stuff here in this podcast episode. But the question that spurred it was, what a guy asked me, what are you feeding your dogs? And do you do any types of supplements? And so right now, I think it's a, I don't usually, and he said, you don't usually, I think he was in his comment was, you don't usually talk much about that. And I don't because, I guess I don't know that I've had much news with it. I've always felt like I've had pretty healthy dogs. And I think a lot of it comes from genetics. But I also have probably studied what goes into them as far as food and if there are supplements involved more so in the last couple of years than ever. And it's probably for a few reasons. One reason is because I have some aging dogs. I have some dogs that are just, they're getting old. Taylor turned 10 in August. Ellie's 8, going to be 9 this coming September. And Spry is 7, going to be 8. In December. So I've got a 7, 8, and a 10-year-old dog. And I've heard a lot of people talking, and maybe I hear it all the time, but I don't necessarily hear it. Or I hear people saying stuff about it, but it doesn't really, I'm not listening to it until it's one of those things that involves you. And so I've heard a lot of people more recently, and I'm actually listening to it, talk about dogs and aging effects. And it's maybe something I didn't want to think about because I didn't want to think about my dogs getting to the age they are. Now, knock on wood, and I don't want to jinx it, but I've got very healthy dogs. You know, Taylor being our oldest, I would say the last 2 or 3 seasons have been as good or better than any of her seasons in the field. I've probably hunted her more actively, put more miles on her, just worked her harder than I have probably in some of those middle years, which middle years I'm going to say were maybe that 4 to 6, 4 to 7 years old. So I do think that I'm thinking about it more because I got these dogs that are just getting old, and I'm worried about, you know, when I hear people talking about, you know, life expectations and dogs going downhill, and, you know, it seems like I'm maybe dodging that bullet a little bit because I got 3 dogs in the 7 to 10 range that are really doing well. And so part of it, I think, is genetics. And then the other part of it I do think is I've paid more attention to is what you're putting in them. And so how are you fueling them? And that's one reason. The second reason I want to talk about this is because for the first time, I would say maybe in 24 years now since I got my dog when I was in college. So it's been a little while. I haven't been faced with issues like I was recently when it comes to food. And so Makena, our setter, which if you listen to the podcast, you kind of know Makena. And if you don't, you'll be able to kind of, it's hard to miss her on our social sites. She's the apple of my eye. She's a really nice little dog. Setter, real good dog for me to learn on. Different style of training, different, all of that. But and we've documented that, I think, pretty well. We're starting into a third season of her training, as far as the series goes in our training library. And so very well documented to this point as far as training. I've struggled with her when it comes to some of her weight. And so ever since she was little, she's a small dog to begin with. She's on, I would say, on the smaller side of the English setter. Very proportionate. She's built really well. Like her makeup that way is like very good. Like her structure and the way she's built and the way her front end and back end and everything is balanced. Her back is really straight. She runs really well. She's light on her feet. She's just a little small. Her frame is small. But the problem I had was with her, she's what I'm going to call a finicky eater. And I've never had that before. All my dogs inhale their food. You know, if anything, you got to try to slow them down. I don't necessarily have to or do it, but if there's a fault, it's that they eat really fast. And I wouldn't fault them for it. I would fault her for being a finicky eater, a slow eater, a picky eater. And what it's created as far as an issue for me is, since the beginning, I've had a hard time. I work her, and she's got a higher metabolism. She burns it faster than my labs. Her personality is different. Her temperament is different. Everything about her wired-wise is different than my Labrador's. So with that, calorically, she needs to probably take in more calories per pound than my labs do. I'm sure of that. And so I've had her I started her out on the same food that I was feeding my labs a couple of years ago when I got her. So she had her second birthday in November. So she's a little over 2 years old. And I started her out on a mix that was like a 26-16, which was an adult feed that I was feeding. And actually, I actually think that's wrong. I had her on a different mix. It was a puppy mix. So it's probably a little bit different fat and proteins. But it was probably a little richer in calories. But I couldn't get her to eat it very well. And so I tried that for a while. She didn't eat it very well. I switched her to the same food that I was feeding my labs at the time. She wouldn't eat that very well. It was a struggle to get her to like take it in. I was feeding her twice a day at the time. I was trying different things. I was watering the food, which I typically do, especially with young dogs. It didn't seem to matter. So I did that for, I don't remember how long. It's probably close to a year, I would say. And when she got a little bit bigger, she was always on the thin side. I would have always liked to have had her put a little bit more weight on, have a few more pounds. So from that, I made a switch. I switched to a dog food that was recommended by a lot of people that I kind of in my circle, a much richer, denser food. It was like a 32-32. It was a real dense mix. It was a Nook, brand was a Nookshook. Brand prior to that was called American Natural Premium. And the Nookshook, I thought, was maybe the ticket. And so I started feeding her that, and she ate even less of it. Now, I think she could get away with eating less of it because I think it was a more dense food. It had a higher calories per cup. And I don't have all those numbers in front of me of what those were, but like I thought, I was feeding her about as hot of a food as I thought I could get at that point. And I just couldn't get her to eat it very good. And so I was trying different things. I was doctoring food up. I was adding stuff into it. I was trying to put some canned type foods into it. Anything I could. And I went through a hunting season, that first hunting season, and hunted her quite hard. And she lost a lot of weight. You know, she was pretty skinny by the end of it. And a lot of dogs do, and a lot of dogs do get that way. And I understand that. But it was like she wasn't big to begin with. So was always kind of a pain in my neck to figure this out. I went last year, and so at the time I had my labs on their the food that I had had them on originally, and I had them feeding on that for a few years. I went up to Pine Ridge Grouse Camp last year, And I was there for a woodcock banding, and I brought Makina with, and I had a couple lab puppies with as well. And we spent, I don't know, three, four, 5 days there, I guess, total. And while I was there, Jerry Hovel took me aside, and we were talking about Makina, and we ran her a little bit and all that. And he asked me what I was feeding her, and I told him my struggles that I was having. And I said, you know, I'm having a hard time getting her to eat something. And it's that simple, like getting her to eat it. He said, hey, I got something for you to try. So he got me a bag of Yukonuba, and it was a 30-20 performance. So it was a little bit there. It was a little hotter, what I would call a little bit hotter food. He said, try this. And so I did. I took a bag home, and he said, just try it, see what you think. You know, this is what I'm feeding all of my pointers. A lot of guys around here are feeding it, associated with his lodge, and similar types of dogs, you know, bird dogs. So I went home, and I held off on switching her. I forget why. I didn't want to switch her. I had a field trial. I think I was running her in a few weeks. So I held off a little bit because I didn't want to make a food change at that point. I was kind of focusing on getting her ready for this. And so as soon as I got done with that, I tried it, and I did two things. I switched it to that Yukonuba 30-20. And the one thing I noticed about her was as soon as I would switch a food, she'd eat it pretty good for about 2 or 3 days. And then it would go back to her old routine, picky eating. And so when I switched to this 30-20, this Yukonuba performance, she ate it really well. And I thought, well, I've seen her do this before, so I'm not going to quite get too excited too quickly. But I messaged Jerry, and I said, hey, she seems to be eating it pretty well. I didn't see, now what I do is I don't switch them cold turkey. So like, it takes me a while. That was the other problem, was by the time, and she's such a little dog, and by the time I switch her over, I don't want to tear her guts up. So I'll start with mixing like 50-50 at the most. I might actually do probably like 2/3, 1/3. So 2/3 of her old food, 1/3 of the new. And I do that, and I didn't see any issues. And I've never actually, I don't think she has a real sensitive stomach. So I've never seen issues with switching foods. And I switched foods four times really with her in this matter of a year and a half or less of time. So I never really saw any struggle that way, but I did incrementally do it. So I'd go 2/3 old, 1/3 new. Then I'd go half and half. Then I'd go 3/4, 2/3 the new one and 1/3 the old. And eventually I switch her over. So by the time I had done that, and she seemed to eat it better when I started cutting the old food with this new Yukonuba. So that kind of made me think, well, is it that she likes it or is willing to eat it more? Or is it because it's a change? Because she's historically would eat better when I change stuff. But she stuck with it. And as I continued to add more and go heavier Yukonuba percentage-wise per bowl, she kept eating it. Now I did do two things. I did do something else that maybe made a difference, but I'm not 100% sure because I've since changed back to it, and I'll explain that. I started feeding her once a day. Prior to that, I was always feeding her twice a day. So I was basically taking a day's worth of food, cutting it in half, feeding it in the morning, which she never would eat, or, she wouldn't eat it all. I'd take it away from her because I didn't leave free food to the dog because I can't do that around this house. My labs will eat it all. So if it's not eating, if they're not eating, I give them their window of time. If they're not eating, I pick it up. So I would give her some in the morning. She made me nibble on it a little bit. She also had a really weird habit that when you put the food in a bowl for her, now she doesn't do this with Yukonuba, and I don't know why, but when I would put the food in a bowl for her, she'd nose it. She'd flip it with her nose. She'd spill the bowl. She takes her nose and she'd like rub it on. If I fed her on a pillow or a bed, she'd take her nose and she'd rub the bed like kind of aggressively, just rub her nose on it. And then she'll take their nose and flip the bowl and try to tip it over. And then if she tips it over and makes a mess, which and I got to pick it up, she'd pick at it a little bit. She'd maybe eat a few pieces of kibble. So she's a weirdo when it comes to this. Now, when I started putting the Yukonuba in, she didn't fool with it anymore and play with it. She actually ate it. And so what I saw was when I switched her to the Yukonuba, I quit putting it in half in the morning, half at night. And I started feeding her the full amount of food for a day, which at the time for her was about 3 cups. I started doing it all at night. And I'd put I put it into her crate with her at night. And she'd usually start eating it, but she wouldn't always eat it in one sitting. But I'd leave that food in there overnight. And by the time I woke up in the morning, it'd be gone. And so I knew she was getting the full 3 cups that way. And she was getting it within a 24-hour period. Now, that is how that was promising to me, because I was at least getting the total volume of food into her, and she was eating it and relatively consistently and not fooling around with it, not making a mess. So I was pretty happy with that. Now, since then, I've started to actually, and that started, you know, that was late spring, early summer, and all the way into fall. Now, when I started feeding her in the fall, activity level obviously goes up with her, because I hunted a lot more than I trained with her. And so I did see a correlation with activity and her appetite. The more she ate, the more she worked out, the more she ate. That was easy to see. That was with all food. But what I started to do is because I kind of started researching this stuff through the resources with Yukonuba, because I was interested in why does this seem to be working better for me. So I started asking more questions. I got on a couple calls with them. I talked with them. And one of the things that they said to me was, if you can, I would feed her a little bit in the morning, especially if you're going to hunt her. Not necessarily right before you take her, and don't feed her a whole bunch, but she wouldn't eat a whole bunch anyway, but give her a little bit in the morning. And a lot of times what would happen is I would duck hunt in the morning, grouse hunt mid-morning. So what I would do is feed them when I got up early to duck hunt. And then she'd stay in the kennel for a couple hours before we'd ever get to the field to grouse hunt. So I started doing that, and I ended up being able to up the total cups, which she could use more. You know, 3 cups, I think it was about 3 cups is what I was feeding her. She could take more. Like, she wasn't getting heavy. She still wasn't big, but she wasn't losing weight. And so I ended up going from, now this is going to sound silly, but I put about 4 pounds on her from when I started feeding her up until fall. 4 pounds doesn't sound like a lot, but like, she was only 29 pounds. So I got her up to about 33. I don't think I ever got her to 34, but it was for sure 33. She was for sure 33 pounds when the season started. Then what ended up happening was she did not lose it through the hunting season. She kept it on. And I actually finished the season about where I started her weight-wise. Now, I haven't weighed her recently. We're into February now. I haven't weighed her in the last month. She has not worked out much in January, but January has been a pretty flat month for her. But I would say that she's probably right there at 33. I don't know that she's any heavier. But I share this all with you because it's the first dog that I've struggled with this type of an issue. And so this guy asked me this question, what are you feeding? Well, since I started getting kind of these results and I was really happy with what it did for Makena, I got interested a little bit into digging into my labs and do I want to make a switch with them? And so what I found was with Yukonuba, after talking with them, I decided to try it. And the 30-20 was definitely not. So what I ended up doing with her, with Makena also, is since the season, I have switched her. I'm not on 30-20 with her anymore. I switched her to puppy. So she eats the puppy really well. I think it's a 26-16. I'm pretty sure that's what it is. But it's this puppy pro. And I have her on that. And I also mix it with a regular puppy. So I've got a couple. So I went and I bought a couple different types of the food. And here's where it was interesting to me was, if you look at the ingredients and you look up the makeup of the Yukonuba food, I'm able to switch her. And I found out that I can switch my labs on it too. Once I switched my labs over to it, and I put them on. It's not a 30-20, it's one underneath that. And but it's an adult feed. And I put my, I should have this stuff up on the website right now. I put Ellie on a feed called Sprint, which was, it was a little bit less. And so what I was able to do with her, it's a little bit less on fats and proteins. What I did with her was I was able to get her, feed her the same amount cups wise, but it was a, it was less calories. And Ellie struggles with her weight. Ellie puts weight on really easily. Especially since she had puppies, she just puts it on really quick and really easy. And I was struggling with her because I was felt like I had to feed her so little that she was always hungry, really hungry. And Taylor's kind of that way too. Spry is not so much. Spry is the one that's 7 years old. She's still quite athletic. Doesn't put the weight on quite as quick. But Taylor and Ellie will. So I ended up putting her on this Sprint. And I was able to feed her basically the same amount, which I felt like helped her not feel so hungry. But it was giving her less calories, and she just looked, her weight-wise, she looked a lot better. Now, the other thing that I liked about it was when I switched, I have switched foods in the past, partly because I started to see negative effects when it came to their coats. And if I see stuff with their coats, I know stuff's going on inside. It's a really easy indicator. If you see stuff with the nails and the coats and their feet, there's stuff going on inside that that probably is off as well. And now this is where some of these supplements can come in. I do supplement with fish oil. I put fish oil on all of our dog's food. I've got several people that I really know and trust that have been doing it for years. And we worked with this company up in Canada, and we've got another product that we're coming out with very soon. I'm really excited about, been using it for a couple of years now too, but, and I'll share more on that later, but we worked with this company to come out with what I think is one of the best qualities of a fish oil. It's salmon and pollock, but it's wild caught salmon and pollock, and it's really rich from a DHA standpoint, and it's really cost effective because we put it in 32 ounce bottles. So instead of putting it in smaller bottles, like it's a volume thing. And so by us being able to offer it in a little bit bigger bottle, there's a lot of oils out there that are in pretty small bottles and they get pretty expensive. And the dogs, I just would go through it way too quickly with five or six dogs. And so for me to have a 32 ounce bottle, I go through a 32 ounce bottle. 1 month lasts one dog for me, probably close to 3 months. It's for sure 60 days. It's probably closer to 90 days. I'm using about a half an ounce per feeding. I'm just drizzling it. I just put a little drizzle on their kibble. But I have found that a combination of that and me switching to Eukanuba right now has my dogs probably looking the best, as good or better than they've looked. And so I'm pretty excited. I love the idea of being able to make adjustments. Now, I'm not the kind of guy, I don't want five different types of foods for five different dogs. It's a hassle. I don't want to do that. But what I like about this offering from Eukanuba right now is I have bought four different kinds of food, and I can mix and match it to figure out what it exactly is that I want for my dogs. And like I said, I don't want to feed them all a different kind, but like I've got actually Ellie, Spry, and Taylor all on the same food right now. I've got Makena on her food, and I'm feeding Rain the same. I'm actually feeding Rain the same as our old dogs. So I'm feeding a 1 year old dog the same food as I'm feeding my 10, 8, and 7 year old. I do give Rain just a little bit more. She probably gets an extra half a cup compared to the older dogs. And I would say Ellie gets slightly less, and Taylor maybe gets slightly less. So I vary the quantities, but it's not that much. And so one of the things that brings up, and I want to dig into this some more too, like One of the things that I liked about Yukonuba was the food was good. I think the food is good, but when I had some of these conversations with their people, there were some real interesting things that they brought up that I just don't know that I truly understood. And so one of them was the back of the bag, talking about how much food you should feed your dog. There's charts on the back of these bags. And so one of the things that I've never believed in was the idea of look at the back of a dog bag to tell you how much food you should give. So I told them that, and they're like, yeah, you're not wrong there. But here's what you need to know. When you look at the recommended feed amounts based on the dog's size, and you start talking about how many cups for the dog that weighs X amount to X amount, and it's obviously a little bit of a generalization and a little bit broad, but the reasoning for that, and I'll sound like a moron to some people, I didn't realize this. The reasoning for that is because when you start looking at the nutrients, and you start looking at the things that are in that food, it's to calculate how much the dog needs. So like it's all these things that make up the food. That recommendation is simply to let you know that you're giving your dog the proper amount daily. And so I always thought, well, you're trying to tell me how much I should feed my dog. Well, it all depends on the dog because some dogs need more and some dogs need less. Well, yeah, that's kind of true, but if you're not feeding them the right, it's a combination of things. It's a combination of the quantity, it's a combination of the amount of calories that are within that quantity, but it's also all these nutrients and all the things that the dog needs health-wise that make up that equate to that volume of food. And I don't know that I necessarily recognize that. So I am adjusting a little bit of the feed. And here's the other thing is I always gauge everything on visual. Like I just base everything on what do my dogs look like? If they look big, they look fat, I need to change something. If they look skinny, I need to change something. If they look poor as far as like their coats, I need to change something. Those are always the indicators to me. I don't really care about the numbers that much. I should probably understand them better, and that's something that I'm kind of working with these guys on to learn. But what's important is to me, and has always been to me, is gauging it based on visual. And so what I am able to do now is I can take like this assortment that they have and really figure out what is the best for each one of my dogs based on what they look like to me. So right now I feel like the health part of it, I think I can check that box. I'm really happy with that. The palatability, which is an issue with Makina, I check that box because she eats it. She's eating it better than anything I've given her before. When it comes to like my three older dogs, if I need to make a change because Ellie's getting too big, I can switch very easily to Sprint. Like I can get a bag of Sprint, I can go get a bag of Sprint, and I can either feed some of Sprint or all of Sprint to her in combination with, I don't know what it's not a 30, the one below the 30-20. The 30-20 is the one that like Spry probably could be on that in the fall. Taylor definitely not. Ellie definitely not. Rain definitely not. Their metabolism is not built for it. I would say as a whole, most of my dogs are not built for that. That's way too hot of a food for them. So, but I feel like I have the ability with this line to be able to mix and match and switch and fine-tune and dial in. And that's kind of a without, so that's part of it. But then the other part of it is I can do it without having to do it so slowly and incrementally because the actual ingredients that are in this feed, it's basically all the same. And so I can switch them over essentially tomorrow, cold turkey, and I'm not seeing any issues to their stomach. So that's a huge advantage to me, trying to figure out how to dial in for each one of my dogs what's best. And I don't think that most people are going to have necessarily the hurdles that I have because I've got some weirdness with a little bit of a finicky eater and a female, one of my dogs that's had litters and puts weight on really easy post. I think Spry is a pretty average dog with a, you know, she's probably a little more energetic than most of mine, but probably more normal, I would say, to most people that are hunting sporting dogs. So the flexibility, though, is what's really kind of something that I've enjoyed. So that guy that asked me that question, I hope this kind of gives you some insight on that. I'm interested in learning more about it now than ever. And one of the things that I'm going to be doing is I'm going to work kind of closely with some of the Yukonuba team to try to better understand what it is I'm seeing, why I'm seeing it. And hopefully that helps with me, getting the most out of my dogs, which obviously is always kind of my priority. So that's kind of an update. It's new for me. I did it very gradually. I started, you know, last April, I think, is when I first started, when I first got that bag from Jerry. And since then, I've just slowly played with it a little bit, slowly gained confidence with it a little bit, and then at this point, switched them all over. So, and I'm really happy with it. So I'm going to kind of keep you guys posted on that. I'll keep sharing as I learn on it, because I think it's the kind of stuff that I don't know that I necessarily found information-wise out there until I started. And it's a credit to Yukonuba for talking with me about it, because I don't know that I would have went and asked these questions. And if I didn't, I wouldn't understand it, because I didn't understand it. Now, I it's also probably a thank you. I got a puppy that brain's whining behind me here and has to go out. But it's a thank you to Jerry at Pine Ridge as well, because he's the one who kind of pushed me to try it. And it was, you know, it ended up being a really, really good fit for me. But it's something that I don't know that I've heard anybody else talk about it this way. I've heard people tell why they like this and they like that, and everyone has their own reasons for doing certain things. I'm buying the food. I bought the bags. I tested the bags. And I just want to share, I do want to share what I think works well for me. And so this is kind of a good way of doing that. So I hope this helps. There'll be more to come on it. There'll be more as I find out more. There's more as I continue to kind of dig into it with the people at Yukonuba. I listened to a couple podcasts. There was a couple podcasts that I found out there, that they had some of their veterinary, they have like people on staff that are, I think they're vets, and do some of their studies. I've been doing some interesting research on some breeding stuff. And, the place that I breed our dogs is Veterinary Village, and Dr. Marty Greer, who's pretty well known for the breeding stuff. I've listened to her talk a lot about the health part of it when it comes to fertility. One of the foods that she's recommending is Yukonuba. She recommends a few of them, but it all has to do with the testing that they're doing on certain things. So that was a confidence builder for me. But there's a lot of stuff out there that I've listened to a few podcasts that have created more questions for me and answered some questions for me. And the questions that were created, my attempt is to try to dig into them and get the answers. And then I'd like to share them with you, because I feel like it's interesting stuff that probably is shared maybe a little differently how I do it, because I don't really care about anything but what's best for our dogs, and sharing that, and hopefully that helps other people. So I'm going to let this puppy out. She wants to go, and they're hungry too, so I will be feeding dogs. But thanks, guys, for listening. If you like these podcasts, please do us a favor, wherever you're listening to them, if you'd subscribe to it, if you'd share it with someone that you think it might help, if you'd leave us a rating, all that stuff, especially if it's positive, all that stuff helps us grow and get in front of other people that are similar to you. And ultimately that helps us accomplish our goal, which is help more people. So thanks, guys. I really appreciate your support, and we'll continue to bring these to you.